Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome into the show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a wonderful Independence Day weekend. As you heard, Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. It is thrilling to be here. Great show planned for you. And as always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'll be here today, tomorrow, Friday, and a couple days next week. Jim off for a few weeks. And as always, just a thrill to be here, more so than usual. I mean, I love doing this show, and I've talked on the air about the fact that growing up listening to Jim, wanting to emulate Jim as a radio host in terms of work ethic and passion, and the chance to sit in this chair is amazing. Normally, when I get the opportunity to come to the show, I'm excited, pumped up, try to work hard at it. My family's not particularly, you know, interested. They actually cheered this time around. I think Henry, Madeline, and my wife Lori, a little too much daddy time. We're all stuck together. So not only is the Jim Rome Show, and Jim Rome, again, been gracious to me in my career, apparently helping me as a father and husband by getting me away from my family. We are in L.A., and things are fairly shut down here. And to be able to get in and do this is going to be a lot of fun. We got a great, great show planned for you. Love to hear from you, clones. I'm one of you. So if you want to call and rail, yell, scream, say nice things, talk about Garrett Ritter, Alvin DeLauro, who's here. Love to hear from you. Same phone number as always, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686, Rome at haveatake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. You can also hit me up, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. In an hour, we're going to get into how of all sports and all things, soccer, and I cannot pretend before the shutdown, before the world got turned upside down, before we started living in a virus inspired inside out, to have been some kind of a super soccer fan. Not the case. But of all sports, soccer has underscored the incompetence of Major League Baseball and its so-called commissioner. And we'll get into that in an hour. And to sort of maybe line up with that, and to underscore why soccer matters right now in a way that baseball should, but, you know, being well-run and having people who know what they're doing can be sort of helpful to those goals. My buddy Rob Stone, Fox Sports broadcaster extraordinaire, going to be on the show, talk a little soccer. About 35 or 40 minutes from now, that 1:40 Eastern, 10:40 Pacific slot, we'll talk to Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, NBA writer, a lot of NBA on tap, a lot of things to get into, a lot of things percolating in the world, and of course, baseball among the sports planning to come back, and so my buddy, former Dodger, former Cub, won a World Series with the Yankees, current Dodgers analyst Jerry Harrison Jr. will be on final hour of the show. I do at the end of the program, probably the last hour, top of the last hour here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in. I want to get into the numbers, the analytics, the as best we can parse who's going to have advantages and disadvantages in this bubble at Disney in Orlando, assuming that it actually comes to completion. Got some insight for you on which teams are going to benefit. Give a hint on those that aren't. I'm sorry, Philly fans. It ain't going to go well for you, but there's some surprise teams that the numbers and some of the things we can read into the regular season before it got shut down suggest maybe some surprises outside of the Clippers and Lakers, who are poised to be pretty successful. Let me start here. And I want to get to why college football, I don't want to say is going to have to go to spring football, but to every voice you hear that says college football needs to go this fall, let me start by presenting a state of sports as they are, as a reminder how uncertain things are. I'm the last guy who wants to be the most negative person in the room as it relates to sports, because I love them like you do. It's why you're listening to a sports talk radio show, Jim Rome Show, on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. And beyond that, in a very self-interested way, for Alvin, for Garrett, for me, for the guys in the show, for the people I work with at CBS Sports HQ, people I used to work with when I was hosting a show at CBS Sports Radio, we make our living doing sports. Sports happening doesn't just make our lives easier and more joyous. It allows us to continue to do things like, you know, the important things. Feed our family, pay our mortgage, spend too much money on online poker tournaments, Garrett. You know what I'm talking about. But the reality is that the state of where we're at in this country with this virus, And what we're seeing as sports just try to creep back to the execution of getting back to games does not bode well for the fall. Let's just do a quick update where we are. MLS returns this week, a few days from now. And I'm not an MLS fan, but it's cool, right? World Cup-style tournament at Disney. I'm going to watch it because I've gotten into soccer, because that's the only thing that's been on. And because I want to see how things are going to go, not just in a bubble, but a bubble at Disney. It'll be an indication a few weeks ahead of schedule for the NBA. We know the NBA returns at the very end of the month. And we know that it feels like 5 or 6 hours can't go by without Woj or Sam Amick or Shams reporting another organization that has shut down its facility because of a positive test or multiple positive tests. Add to that list the Sacramento Kings joining the Bucks and the Clippers and several of the Bulls, several other organizations that haven't been able to operate their facilities for more than a short amount of time because of positive coronavirus tests. This is, we know this, right? We know this, an incredibly contagious virus. As I talked about last time on the show, I had it a few months ago. Still have the antibodies. It's out there. Doesn't bode well. And NBA players, and I'll say this at the start, we can get into it if you call in 1-800-636-8686. I'll judge a lot of, I will be happy to be accurately, almost always, but not always, critical of players, athletes, teams, commissioners like Robert Manfred, who's totally dropped the ball. I'm not going to make a judgment. I'm just not on someone who makes a decision not to play during the coronavirus. You want to go out there and play? You want to be a part of what you're a part of? God bless you, go do it. You don't want to play, you're worried about it because your wife is pregnant or your mother lives with you or you're just worried about the health of you or your kids, that's your business too. And that's the complication of where we're at. It's not just can we play, it's our players willing to do it. And here's what we know from the NBA. Victor Oladipo has said no. It's a big name. Avery Bradley has said no. And without getting to J.R. Smith jokes, that's an important piece of what the Lakers wanted to do. And guess what? Guess what? J.R. Smith is not going to be a proper replacement. Trevor Ariza. I mean, the list is long. DeAndre Jordan, DeMarcus Cousins, his comeback, so on and so forth. And that's just baseball. Dodgers fans have already gotten their taste. And I shouldn't make jokes as it relates to the virus. David Price will become a bad guy for the Dodgers when he gets to play, because that's who David Price tends to be sometimes. Unlikable, whether it's fair or not fair. Maybe I'm part of the media conspiracy against him. I don't know. He's opted not to play for the Dodgers this year. Absolutely is right. In fact, Nick Markakis, this just came down in the last hour. For the Braves, not going to be playing. He's out. He's opting out. Felix Hernandez, Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, the list goes on. All of this, and by the way, Mike Trout has said he may not play. Andrew Miller has said, I'm not sure there's going to be a season. All of this is happening in the dead of summer. All of this is happening at a time where folks hoped this virus would at least tamp down. All of this is happening during a first wave. The reality is that the NBA and Major League Baseball and Major League Soccer, with its leadership in the various commissioners' offices and the unions and the players involved, have made a concerted decision as people who get paid to do sports to get out there and try. And I get it. If the NBA can get to a conference finals and a finals, I plan to be in Disney. Am I excited about flying across America in an airplane? Not necessarily, but it's something that feels like it's important to my job and to do it, to do my job well. And I love the NBA and I want to be there for CBS Sports. But I get paid to do that. And so whenever I see these problems and I'm reminded that the NBA season is not a certainty to finish, it's a certainty, almost a certainty to return. That's not the question. Will it get to a champion in October? We don't know. Victor Oladipo, Avery Bradley, Trevor Ariza, these shutdown facilities, they suggest the odds are certainly not 100%, may not even be close to 100%. Major League Baseball trying to get its return going. Way too late. Again, we'll hit that in an hour. We'll just, and I don't want to crush baseball. I love baseball. But we're going to crush baseball in an hour. The struggles they're having, the players who have tested positive, Freddie Freeman, the players who have said, I don't know if I can go, Mike Trout, the most talented player, not just in baseball now. I mean, I don't get too carried away because baseball is a game that's been around for so long. There's so many names. Mike Trout might be one of the most talented players in the history of a game that has dominated, until guys like Robert Manfred came around, that has dominated American sports for more than a century. And it's a reminder that things are not going to be easy. And so every time that I allow myself to be honest on the Jim Rome Show or elsewhere about the difficulty in playing sports, I comfort myself with, like me as an adult, these guys get paid and they get to make a decision about their income versus their views of this virus and what's safe and what's not safe. That is not true for college football players. And this idea, this notion of ramming college football down the throats of an American audience that wants it, so that the Lincoln Rileys and the Nick Sabans, the commissioners of the various conferences, the fat cats in Indianapolis, the NCAA, can make their money is so off-putting. And we know this. We know college football is not a guarantee to be a go. I'm not saying the Ivy League has the greatest college football programs on the face of the earth, but I am saying they probably have some of the smartest people, since it's the Ivy League, that are involved in college athletics. They're going to vote on Wednesday, a couple days from now, whether or not to cancel this fall part of the season, because it could happen. Penn State athletic director has said, not ideal, spring football is a, quote, last resort. But look, if my wife came to me and said getting divorced is a last resort, I would understand that there were some problems. Once it's introduced into the conversation, it's possible. And I think Lincoln Riley, not just the hottest name in college football coaching, and, you know, I'm sure in, whenever we get back to normal, we'll talk about whether he'll be the Cowboys coach at some point when McCarthy fails, but I digress. Lincoln Riley, I thought, was incredibly honest about it. He said, quote, I think the people who say it's not an option, spring football, in my opinion, just don't want to think about it. There's more, but that's what it comes down to. This is what college football should do. They should look at what I can see in the NBA and the difficulty of simply opening a practice facility. They should look at the players who actually get paid opting out. They should look at Major League Baseball and the difficulty of getting entire teams to agree to be there and or be virus-free. They should look at the story of just a couple frat boys, and good for those dudes, who went to a party a few weeks ago, and now the virus has spread among them. It is not a realistic goal to put a bunch of people together in a contact sport and not expect this virus to spread. The question for the NBA, for Major League Baseball, for the National Football League, is not whether you're going to get it. You might. The question is the money worth the risk? Is the income worth the risk? That is a decision in this country as Americans who work for a living, whether you make 50 grand a year or 20 grand a year or $20 million a year that you get to have for yourself. That doesn't apply to college football athletes. It just doesn't. This lie, this silliness. I feel insulted now when I say, I feel like I'm insulting you. Bill Ryder, by the way, filling in for Jim Rome, when I say amateur athletics. So let's do it with air quotes. If you can see me on CBS Sports Network, amateur athletics. If it were amateur athletics, if it wasn't about the money, if it was about college students, if it was about education, if it was about we're going to take these young men and we're going to make them men, spring football would already be done. It would be decided. Can we stop pretending that the NCAA cares about its student athletes? Now, I'll tell you this. Having covered college basketball and college football early in my newspaper reporting career, I get these things are complicated. Almost all the college coaches I've been around, for the most part, care about the young men that they coach. They do. But they care about them in the way that a boss cares about his staff. Wants you to be good, wants you to be healthy, wants you to be okay. But this is a business. College football is an absolutely different thing than every other sport we're talking about. Because if you don't go, and you're required to, at Oklahoma, or Penn State, or Iowa, or USC. And by the way, in California, there aren't going to be classes in college in the California system. If you don't go, it's a scarlet letter. If I don't go to work, I make a decision not to get paid, and that's a decision I have a right to make. And if I do go, I get this thing called compensation. The lie of amateurism, the idea that these student athletes get the things that they deserve, the idea there's not a power imbalance has always been untrue, but there's been a joy in the sport for athletes and fans. There's never been a question of safety. There is now. So with all respect to Lincoln Riley, and he's right, you're kidding yourself if you don't think it's an option, but I'll go further. It should be the plan, barring, and maybe there's going to be a miracle coming, I'm not counting on it, but expect the worst and hope for the best, barring this vaccine just dissipating. I don't think it's going to disappear with all respect to some of our politicians, but I'm not an expert. But I would say the odds are it's going to be with us. And then what we've seen from people trying to get back to normal life, what we've seen from the incremental beginnings of almost an NBA season, almost an MLB season, means this thing's going to be hard. Look, I'm not willing to get into the camp of there's a test, shut it down, or I don't care about the virus, play the whole thing. We operate, especially in this sort of health crisis, not sort of, in this health crisis, in a world of grays. Here's what's black and white. College athletes don't get paid money. You're not going to have, almost in its entirety, college courses going on with students in the building. It's going to be Zoom. College football has to wait. If Major League Baseball comes back, and the NBA comes back, and the NHL, excuse me, hockey fans, comes back, and MLS later this week comes back, and it goes off without a hitch, and everything is great, and it's miraculous the way to which these protocols actually work once you get people in bubbles, maybe we can talk about college football, but the operating plan should be this. If the NCAA really believes that A, they're student athletes, that B, there's a moral imperative to helping young men become grown adults of maturity, and if we're not going to have our intelligence insulted any further, college football should plan on the spring, expect the worst, do the right thing, hope for the best, and understand, kick off a game one, that's a February or March thing when hopefully, well beyond sports, this virus is under control through science or running its course, or the folks in this country are wearing a mask and doing the things that need to be done. 1-800-636-8686. Talking's luckily not an important part of the job. 1-800-636-8686. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome. Take some phone calls if you want. Also want to get into Giannis. He put out the ultimate cliche, why it's right for the first time in the history of sports, when we come back in a moment here on the Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Miami, Joel's on the line. Joel, appreciate you listening, brother. Happy belated Independence Day. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
So much, Bill. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking my call. Listen, love your show. Always listened to you before you even sent me for Rome. But you are absurdly crazy if you think a college football season in the spring can work. Let me tell you why. Number one, if it starts in February and March, when will it end? April, May, early May? That will not work for the NFL. The NFL will not push back its draft just to help college football get their season in. It's not going to happen. They didn't even cancel their draft during a pandemic. So you think they're going to help college football out? No. The other thing is, if college football does go forward, that you really think the top elite players in college football would risk an injury for the NFL draft? It's not going to happen, Bill. Not going to happen. The best way, in my opinion, to get a college football season is get rid of the games that don't matter. Don't matter. That people are not even going to watch on TV. Unfortunately, it sucks. You won't see the USC, Michigan, or Alabama, whoever they were playing this year. You don't need to see those games. Play the conference games, play what's important, and figure out from there. That's it. You know there's going to be a spike. You know something's going to happen. So why wait? In the spring, it could be worse. You never know. But if you play what's important now, I think you can get it in. And one last thing for you, Bill. I'm nervous. With all the things going on in Major League Baseball, I know it's safer to be outside. I know you should wear a mask. I know everything. But I just want to get your opinion. Do you really think a Major League Baseball season is going to happen? I'm going to hang up. I'm going to listen to your thoughts on my take. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, Joel, appreciate you, man. I remember you calling in on the show that I did. Appreciate you listening here on the Jim Rome Show. So let me hit the first thing first and the second thing second. Everything you said about the NFL, they've already said, not willing to move their draft. Everything you said is accurate. I just think you're making my point for me. If it was semi-professional or lower-level professional sports, all that would make sense. But this idea, this lie that it's amateurism, that they're student-athletes, you just described the model of professional sports. And the greed of the NFL, that's a whole other topic. The fact the NFL is going to play sports, period, this fall, they're going to plow through whatever's going on, to me, doesn't in any way, on any level, legitimize, green light, putting a bunch of college athletes potentially in jeopardy. And remember, yeah, you're right, the draft. 7 rounds, whole bunch of players. That is a small fraction of the young men who play college football. I hear what you're saying, Joel. To me, it just makes the same point. I don't care about the NFL. Not now. Not in this context. Because while we think the mortality rate's pretty low, you know, 0.5%, 0.3% of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of college football athletes is going to equal young men dying. That's the science. That's the facts. You're right. Things may not be better in the spring, but if they're not, and I'm not saying if fall comes around, everything's fine, go for it. But I think we've seen from MLB and the NBA, things aren't going to be fine. To your question about baseball, and it's a good one. Baseball should be, I guess, outside of NASCAR maybe, and golf, maybe tennis, the easiest, certainly of a team sport, let alone a team sport of the magnitude of what baseball should be in this country, should be the most likely sport to succeed. It is outside. The ability to distance is really easy when you're in Major League Baseball stadiums without any fans. And it's not like you take a baseball and you rub it against your face the way that a basketball can hit you in the head, the way that when you're crashing into guys in football is going to happen. Even I play a lot of tennis. Even tennis, you're picking up a tennis ball. Again, and the odds of transmission, as we understand it, as best we sort of grasp it, is really, really infinitesimally low there. Baseball should be, you're right, extremely easy and safe to do relative to everything else. Problem is, you have to be run by people who know what they're doing, and as we'll hit in about 30 minutes, baseball has not done that. I want to hit this Giannis thing really quickly while we have a little bit of time. Even though I probably use them too often here on the show and other shows that I do, I loathe cliches that don't mean anything. You want to use a cliche to tell the truth, that's fine. Giannis, we're going to play this for here in a second. Giannis Antetokounmpo said something about this upcoming playoff run, 8 games, regular season resumption, starting July 30th, and then a run through the postseason that'll take us to mid-October, that would almost always, in me, generate some scorn. But finally, this cliche from Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks star, is true.
At the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest like championship you could ever win, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
I hate that whoever wants it more is going to take it. I promise you, if wanting it more led to success, I would be a professional baseball player. Did not get close. Ask the kids on my senior year in high school baseball team. I wasn't on it. I was playing tennis. Want it more. All you have to do is want it more and be 6'8 and remarkably athletic and have a team around you that makes sense. It is one of the dumbest expressions that's become mainstream. We've been watching a lot more La Liga in my family, a lot more soccer. And the announcers, who wants it more at this stage? Yeah, that could help. Or having Sergio Ramos or Messi, that, you know, that could all, who wants it more? I mean, I think that other team does, but with Clay and Durant out, feel like it's going to go Kawhi's way in the past NBA Finals a year ago. But this is the year that's actually going to be true. And I find it really interesting because passion and desire is going to be the primary thing that drives who wins an NBA championship. And that's true in the complicated realm of what we're discussing, which is this virus. Does Victor Oladipo want it less than other people? Of course he does. By definition, he does. Nothing wrong with that. He wants to protect himself. And in his case, it's a little different, right? Because he's going to be in Orlando and he's coming off an injury. But does Avery Bradley want a championship less? Yeah, he wants to protect his family more. And that's the personal decision he made. Literally, and I'm not criticizing guys who go to Orlando or guys who don't. I was told by a source yesterday, I don't have it confirmed, so it's more gossip. But Lakers fans, here's some good news. Was told by a source yesterday, the Lakers expect Dwight Howard to show up in Orlando and play. That's great news for the Lakers. And if that is actually Dwight's decision, good job, Dwight Howard. And if my source is wrong and the Lakers have been misinformed and Dwight comes out and says, coronavirus, Black Lives Matter, my focus needs to be on those things, good for Dwight Howard. I'm not going to tell a grown man what to do with his life, this virus, a cause that's important to him and who he is as an American. I'm not. But it's about who wants a championship literally more than some of the other considerations that are out there. LeBron James wants it more than almost anybody. But which, by the way, this all benefits LeBron because he knows time is running out. Giannis is right. It's going to be one of the most... And by the way, not just that. If Joel Embiid shows up weighing 490 pounds, maybe he didn't want as much, you know? I get it. I live on the West Coast. I eat a lot of In-N-Out Burger. By the way, shame on whoever on Twitter did that viral anti-In-N-Out Burger thing. Shame on you, sir. Five Guys go first. Get out of here. But the point is, if Embiid's been eating Five Guys 12 times a day, so have I. As you can see, if you're watching CBS Sports Network, that doesn't mean that he wanted it more. Guys who didn't condition maybe didn't want it more. This is going to be one of the rare times in sports where that's actually going to make a difference. And it's going to be really interesting to see which teams, quote unquote, want it more. And it may not be healthy, that desire, that want, that need. I want to be successful at what I do for a living. I'm sure you do too. You don't want to put people you love or yourself in jeopardy. And these are the difficult questions without real answers everyone is struggling with. All right, Rob Stone going to join me here on the show. It's almost a first for me in the history of doing radio. We're going to talk some soccer. Then we'll get into how that speaks to baseball's utter lack of ability to capture a moment that was just silver platter right in front of them. Rob Stone coming up in here in a minute. But first, we're going to get a CBS Sports Radio update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome back. Happy Monday, Bill Ryder with you. It is time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer that question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Have talked a little bit about how much, at least for me, soccer has become a mainstay of my sports diet over the course of this shutdown. How excited I am for the La Liga finale over the sort of final home stretch here, the less excited as a Barcelona fan, and just how much stuff is going on, Premier League, Bundesliga, MLS. So really excited to welcome on not just one of the most talented broadcasters in the country, a gentleman who helps front the World Cup coverage in this country for Fox Sports, Fox Sports 1, but also a almost neighbor, the one and only Rob Stone joins me now. Mr. Stone, a belated happy Independence Day. Thanks for being here on the Jim Rome Show.
Yeah, trippy down here in the neighborhood over 4th of July. It didn't feel like 4th of July, did it?
It felt like The Walking Dead minus the zombies. I kind of liked nobody around. How'd you dig the empty vibe?
Sometimes I like the emptiness, but I like celebrating big holidays and having fun and getting together. But, I mean, this is COVID, right? This is what we're dealing with, but it was certainly surreal the last couple days. And I'm looking out, and I see humans out by the beach now. So normalcy has returned, and you're right, some more and more sports normalcy is returning, including Major League Soccer this week, which really gets really floats my boat and gets me excited to actually get back into the shop and do some work.
It really is exciting. And Rob, I'm a guy, I played soccer, AYSO, right, amateur, all the way through college, just intramurals. I loved it. Never really watched it that aggressively. I started watching Barcelona last year after I went to visit that city. I went to that city with my family. And during the shutdown, every day it's been La Liga, which is on constantly, EPL. I'm excited about Champions League. I can't wait for the MLS and this new format coming up in a few days. Have you noticed, as a guy who's one of the faces of soccer really in this country on a media side, have you noticed people talking to you more about soccer? Have you been able to tap at all into this opportunity for the sport in America?
Yeah, it's been growing. You know, I think this is certainly something that is highlighting the growth of the sport in this country, but it's been coming. The chatter has been there. The conversations have been there. The coverage certainly has been there. And now that the fact that there's a little bit less competition out there, all it's done is really kind of accentuate the home that international soccer has found in the United States, because that clearly wasn't the case. I think it was always seen as an outlier, as kind of a fringe group of fans that follow these teams from a random country, and who knows what these colors and these crests mean and how you even pronounce some of these players. But that dynamic has certainly changed over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. And I actually think COVID has really kind of given it a bit of a boost right now, with, you know, less competition and more eyeballs on things from Germany to England to Spain to Italy. The conversations on how quickly these leagues were able to return and how well they've done at it, to be honest with you. You know, I think naturally people are out there looking for the negatives and the problems. And yes, there have been some problems for, you know, these leagues in returning in some way, shape, or form. But overall, at least overseas, it's been a pretty darn good success. And here in the United States, the NWSL, the Women's Professional Soccer League, has returned already. And, you know, they made some negative news before the tournament started, with an entire team basically saying, we're not going because of a COVID outbreak. But once you were able to get by that ugly hurdle, it's been beautiful soccer and it's been well received. And it goes again to show you that, you know, this sport has a firm
firm hold of this country. It's not, you know, look, it's not college football. It's not NFL. But I think if you're MLB, you're NHL, you're saying, oh, we've got company kind of in that second tier of sports.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the women's soccer right now can be watched on CBS Sports HQ. Rob Stone from Fox Sports here on the program. Rob, I was saying a few minutes ago before you joined us here on the Jim Rome Show, how, and I'm sure you get the same thing with what you do for a living. Every person I know casually, friends of my kids, the guy that delivers the mail, the neighbors, the person that sells me coffee, they want to talk sports every time I walk in the door, right? That's their connection.
Right.
And I'm shocked. I mean, literally a dozen people who have unsolicited told me that they're watching soccer for the first time in their life over the course of the last month or so, watched it in a really serious way. For those fans, I think there's a lot of them out there, MLS is doing something really interesting, just starting a couple days from now. Can you tell us about what they're up to and what you're looking forward to as it relates to MLS's return?
Right. So basically, MLS made this decision to hold an MLS is back tournament at a neutral site in Orlando out at the Disney complex. You know, it's similar to essentially what the NBA is doing, WNBA, and obviously, you know, what NWSL has already done out west. So they basically said, we're going to kind of create a bubble, and we're going to bring all the players, and we're going to bring the limited staff in, and we're going to hold a World Cup style tournament. We're going to have our groups. We're going to have, you know, clubs that advance to the quarterfinals and the semis and the final, and treat it like a summer World Cup event, which America has shown that they absolutely love and will show up for and watch. But yes, it's going to be done in a non-stadium-esque venue. It's actually, the fields are more like more akin to what you would see at a kids' youth tournament that we've all taken our kids to or seen pictures of from grandparents and nephews and aunts and aunts. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Again, you know, no crowds. All the teams in one area facing off to get, you know, some semblance of a regular season back, kind of to kickstart it. But again, just like the NBA and WWE, right, all these leagues and the PBA, too, made these decisions to relocate essentially their entire operations to Florida when those Florida numbers were low or weren't being tracked to the rate that they are right now. And now that these numbers are really growing in the Sunshine State, there's more and more concern on all entities on how it's going to play. But MLS has essentially most of their teams there already, but it seems like almost daily, Bill, there's another team that had to push back their travel date because of a positive test that came back. And maybe it was a false positive, and they need to retest, and they're holding things back. They have already had one game altered on the traditional schedule. A Dallas-Vancouver game has already been postponed and rescheduled to a later date to accommodate these teams. Dallas got hit hard by COVID right before they left, and their numbers are kind of dwindling, and it's sad, and I'm not making light of it. And the players' safety has to be, and the staff's safety has to be priority number one. But I think you also have to realize that these are interesting times, and you need to be nimble, and you need to make decisions that are in the best interest of everybody. And some of that might be a schedule decision. And let's not force a Dallas team to play on the opening days. Let's push back their opener a couple days, and you'll figure it out. But MLS is returning, and I think the big point, Bill, is that all the European leagues have returned already, the big leagues, and they've done it with proper fanfare and success. There have been no real negative news coming out of the return of the Bundesliga or Serie A or Spain or England, and MLS now has to compete against that. So they have to get it right from day one, whether that's how they do their enhanced audio or no enhanced audio, right? That's a big part of what we were taking in these early days of these soccer games from Europe. Did you want to listen to birds chirping and players and referees interacting, or did you want that fake pumped-in audio? You know, that's a decision that MLS and its broadcast partners have to make. What is it going to look like? We said they're not playing in a typical stadium like we have seen. You know, we've seen games at Wembley and, you know, the famous stadiums in Manchester, England. You're not getting that in Orlando. You're not playing in a stadium. You're just playing on a field, so there's going to be some technology, some sponsorship technology that's basically occupying that quote-unquote stadium fan space in an effort to kind of make good to local and national you know, companies that have invested in Major League Soccer. So I can't wait to see what the look is. We have our first game Saturday night live on Big Fox with Atlanta and the Red Bulls, and we are all just fascinated to see how this is actually going to look and how it's going to sound, and also how's the play going to be, right? Because these guys have had a long layoff and a unique spring training, or spring training part two, if you will. So to me, it's going to be fascinating because the bar has been set very high by the rest of the soccer leagues across Europe.
Rob Stone from Fox Sports here on the show. Yeah, Rob, it's interesting. MLS is going to be the canary in the coal mine in a lot of ways for conditioning of athletes as we look forward to other sports on top of soccer, artificial crowd noise, as you pointed out, all of these things, trying to keep people safe. And I'm of two minds, because I think it was Bundesliga I was watching right when we returned, and the crowd noise, the artificial crowd noise, was so awful. I hated it. But I sort of like what La Liga is doing with these virtual fans. Where do you come down? If you were the commissioner of all sports, we start to get used to soccer and all of it, do you like it?
Look, Billy, it's our business, right? It's impossible to please everybody.
It is.
Right? It's just like politics, too. So there might be a faction that just loves the enhanced audio. There might be a faction that says, man, I want the purity of hearing the cleat hit the ball. I want the purity of the whistle from the official, and I don't hear anything else. And then some of it too, Bill, is who are the audio engineers? Who are the audio crew? Because there's always A teams, B teams, and C teams, and there's a reason you're A, B, and C. So I've heard some Bundesliga games where I walked away from a game to maybe like put a dish away or get another cup of coffee, and I heard a roar of a crowd, and I damn well knew there was no crowd, Bill, but my body, my brain, and my heart pulled me back into the room because I heard a noise that said something's happening, Rob, and I hustled back in there, and it was fabricated, but it made it realistic and it pulled me in. So I'm in favor of enhanced audio. I want to it to me it feels closer to what it should feel like and what I want it to be like. I don't want sports. Nobody wants sports to be quiet, right? I'm getting tired of quiet golf or quiet bowling. I've tried to kill quiet
July
bowling
4th.
For a while, right? We want noise. We want energy. We want that funk. And I think even if it's fake audio and it's enhanced audio, these guys have really kind of figured it out in a short time, and it sounds pure and it sounds right. And then the other part is the enhanced visuals. Look, if there's no crowd there, there's no crowd there. So how can you properly capitalize on it? Because in the end, this is a business, right? Major League Soccer is trying to stay afloat. They're losing millions and millions of dollars in lost ticket sales. So they've got to make some of this back, and they've got to show their partners that they're in this with them and they're fighting it. So I'm totally on board with, and I can't wait to see what it looks like, but I'm on board with the concept of, hey, all right, so there's going to be some type of scrolling, banners, if you will, look, we see it in NBA arenas. We see it all over the place. Our eyes and our minds are used to it by now. So as long as it doesn't, and it won't infringe on the actual play, it's not going to cut into anything, you're not going to miss action, as long as it's kind of back there as a secondary viewing window, if you will, I'm totally fine with it. Look, these are crazy times. These are times that we need to be unique and think outside the box and even experiment too. And I think Major League Soccer is going in with that attitude. Are they going to get some things right? Absolutely. Are they going to get some things wrong? I feel confident there's going to be a couple misses, but the beauty is that they can adjust quickly and figure it out. And that's what the European leagues have done. And look, MLS, NBA, NHL, NFL, all of these leagues, Bill, I guarantee you, I know, have reached out to these European soccer leagues and have been asking questions since day one. Hey, German Bundesliga, how did you do it? Tell me about this audio. What did you do with the fans? What seems to work? What doesn't work? You know, are the cardboard cutouts the answer? Or would you rather have, a bunch of Zoom televisions of fans at home watching these games? Is it worth it? I don't know. But in the end, this is a wild time to experiment. But I got to tell you, Bill, I'm getting closer and closer to having experimentation end, and let's get some real butts in these seats, and let's do it in a safe, healthy way, and let's get sports back to its real normal.
Rob Stone, I am with you. By the way, remiss of me to point out Rob, on top of being an incredible broadcaster, also a former WWE 24/7 champion, also on the resume. Rob Stone, appreciate you, buddy, and I look forward to seeing you around the South Bay one of these days where there's actual other human beings around with us.
Hallelujah. And make sure you get your kids' yearbook, all right?
Yeah, I will. Sorry about that. Thanks, buddy. Rob Stone on the show. Poor Rob. Our kids go to school together. My wife sent me out on an errand. This is a total wife situation. Sorry, Lori, who I'm going to sell out. She's like, oh, it's at Rob Stone's house. I'm like, are you sure? Oh, yeah. So I roll over in COVID a week ago, knock, 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 and this poor, very nice woman's like, hello. I'm like, hi, I need the yearbook. I have the mask on. My daughter's there. They had no idea what I was talking about. I think Rob might have been on the air. It was not a great moment. Soccer is going to be so interesting and so instructive, MLS, even if you're not a soccer fan, for what it tells us, and not in its certainty, but at least on the outlines, transmission of COVID, how it feels without fans in the stadium, can a bubble, and this one's a bubble in Disney, you better believe the NBA is going to be looking in a serious way. But soccer, and beyond MLS, La Liga, Bundesliga, EPL, around the country, has underscored something beyond how great a sport it is. Certainly, it's underscored it for me. Of all things, soccer has shown us what a gaping wound of an organization Major League Baseball is in the service of its own sport. We are going to get into that, how baseball blew a golden opportunity and soccer took advantage of it, when I, Bill Ryder, come back in just a moment here on The Jim Rome Show.